This is the Fitness Tech Podcast, show number 31 for April 20th, 2011. We are once again here at the Gallup Studios. I'm here with Jamie Eichmeyer. Jamie, how are you this afternoon?
Wonderful, Jim. How are you doing?
I am doing very well. We're doing this during lunch today.
Right.
It's kind of nice
changing
to come in the
up.
Afternoon. Yeah, change it up a little bit. And we've got some good things to talk about. We don't have an interview.
Nope.
We don't have a special.
Nope.
We're back to kind of podcast number three where it was just
right.
you and me talking.
Right.
I'm kind of excited about that. And we have some stuff to share. I did get some feedback. I'll look up the email here in just a second about the Fitness Tech Podcast. So a little bit in the show, I'll read a letter from a listener. We've been telling folks that if you do want to interact with the show, maybe even get your stuff read on the Fitness Tech Podcast, you can send an email to me, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. That will get your email to me. And then you might even get that read on the show. So if you want 15 seconds of fame, send us your feedback, right?
We love feedback.
Yeah, we love it indeed. Jamie, how's your workouts coming leading up to the Lincoln Marathon? We have May 1st is the Lincoln Marathon.
May 1st.
You're going to do the half.
Yes. My long runs have been going great, been getting them in, feeling wonderful. My fueling is good during the long runs. I've been experimenting. One day I'll do just shot blocks. Another day I'll do those power gel circle filled things, gooey gummy things, and I can't decide which I like better because they both are working well. So
why don't you take both?
That's a good idea. Good thing we're talking about
there,
this.
There you go. Yeah, and I know that's a big concern, but been
it
a
is.
Lot of talk on the Facebook page, on the Lincoln
right.
Marathon Facebook page, and for other marathon runners, I've been more cognizant of marathon blogs lately. I don't know why.
That's good.
But I've been reading other folks' marathon blogs, and there's this kind of talk of what do you eat.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie, as you're preparing for anything, right?
Exactly.
Any kind of race, whether you're walking or running, and it's probably going to go a duration of 60 minutes or more, right?
Correct.
Where you're going to need to fuel.
That's when you'll need to fuel.
What's some tips? What tips do you have for people along the lines of
nutrition? Once you
hit
the 45 to 60 minute mark and you know you're going to go longer and it's not just a 10K, then you want to start fueling with either the shot blocks or goos or gels or the jelly bean type things that aren't actual jelly beans, but they're made by, you know, Power Bar and Cliff. Every 15 minutes, you want to take something and chew on it. And then liquid on the course, go for the Gatorade, because that'll give you electrolytes and help restore your balances and it'll help prevent cramping and fatigue. Whereas water, I mean, yeah, it's good for hydration, but it doesn't help with electrolytes. So you want to go with the Gatorade. And then take your shot box or your goo every 15 minutes. I mean, goo, the gel is different than the shot blocks, but if you're chewing something every 15 minutes.
Okay, about every 15.
Yes.
You know, and I think a couple of the things I've learned in training, and you can validate this, one is important to practice.
Very important to practice.
So if you're doing long runs on the weekends, try
yes.
some of those foods, right?
Exactly. And your body will let you know how you're feeling. If you're having gastrointestinal distress, then don't go back to those types of foods and gels. Start fueling. You could even break up pieces of a power bar and use that as your fuel if that works better for you and you know your stomach can handle that.
Yeah, and that's actually something I've been doing.
Good.
I think for Lincoln, I use pure protein bars, double
uh-huh.
chocolate or chocolate delight.
I bought that last night.
Did you?
Yep.
Yummy chocolate is what I call it.
Good.
It's very delicious. And I think what I'm going to do is slice those up into small little bite size, maybe seven or eight bite size
mm-hmm.
pieces. Put that in a little baggie and
that'll
go in my pouch for
That's
the marathon.
Good.
And I'll take those. I practiced with raisins
mm-hmm.
The other day. I've been trying to do kind of more all natural kind of things.
Good.
And so a bag full of raisins. We joked on the last podcast on 30, Carrie and I were talking about our 22-mile run. And I joked that I'm going to run my way through, or I'm going to eat my way through a marathon. And so I just started eating from the very start. So a couple raisins every few minutes.
Good.
You know, I just reach in, carry the bag. And that seemed to work really well.
It's really good fuel.
I tried some goo. I tried the Power Bar goo,
mm-hmm.
which is
yep.
just delightful for me. I found out that really worked.
Oh, good.
And I'll be contrary to your Gatorade statement. I found the Gatorade was making me sick.
Oh, really?
So that's me.
Yep.
That's not the
that's
same
not
for
everyone.
Everybody. That's mm-hmm. why it's important, right? You got to find your own
You do,
regime.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to drink then?
Well, I'm going to use water. I'm going to sip water. Depends on the temperature.
Especially since you have those types of, you know, what you're feeling with that work great with water, you know, and that could interact with the Gatorade.
Yeah.
So it depends what you're taking.
Yeah.
It, you know.
It does, right?
It does. It all depends on each person. You do. You have to test it out. That's why you have your long runs, to test out what to do for the full Monty.
Yeah, you definitely need to practice that. The exact right formula is for me. So this year, no Gatorade. Kind of depends on the heat. I've been finding in the colder runs, I don't need electrolyte replacement during the run.
Because you're not sweating as much either.
Exactly.
Right.
On the 22 miler, we did have heat coming back. It was a nice day, and I was drinking lots of water, and that got me through. Now, at the end of it, we went to Walgreens. We walked by Walgreens and stopped in, and I bought a big thing of Gatorade, and I just chugged it.
Uh-huh.
And it was great.
Oh, good.
Replenished some of the things that I needed. It felt really good. Chocolate milk. I did another chocolate milk when I got back to the car for the protein. And I had a protein bar.
Wonderful.
So some post-race fueling. So lots of questions around that. And, of course, if you have questions, you can always send us an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. Lots of information about what you can do. Most important thing, I think, is find out what works best for you, right?
Right. And a lot of people have questions on how should I eat a couple days before the half and full marathon, and what do you eat the morning of?
Lots of myths about that,
isn't
there? What's your recommendation, Jane?
My recommendation is starting 2 days before, because what you eat 2 days before is what your muscles and body will use the day of the race. So starting 2 days before, you want to start carb loading. So having more pasta meals, oatmeal for breakfast, more carbs throughout the day, eat sandwiches, and then keep continuing that. And then the morning of the race, get up early, so hour to hour and a half before the race, even 2 hours before, have either a bagel with peanut butter or...
My favorite.
Which is delicious. You know, whole grain toast, peanut butter, and banana. Mm-hmm. Some people like cereal, but if it's high fiber cereal, you want to stay away from that.
Yeah, and I heard milk isn't great either, because it can coat the lining of your stomach and not allow for proper absorption of the nutrients while you're eating, while you're running.
Exactly.
So
yes.
I think that's a Carrie. I think Carrie told me that. We'll blame that on her. But so I always used to do cereal, and now I've switched over to no milk.
Good.
The morning of, and bagel, whole wheat bagel.
Whole wheat bagel.
Crunchy peanut butter.
Yum.
And whatever fruit I can get my hands on.
Exactly.
And just consume that an hour before the race.
Right. Which would be perfect. And just sticking with carbs with a little bit of protein. You know, a good amount of protein.
Yeah.
So
good. And even that, I found everybody kind of has their sweet spot.
So
it's, again, you need to kind of practice and figure out what works well for you and what fuels you. If you have a really good race, remember, this is why some people journal what they do or what they eat.
Yeah, so they can remember that and continue on that practice.
Yeah, because sometimes you don't remember or you
exactly.
forget. So if you have a really good race and you've kept track of that, then you kind of know. And that doesn't apply to just running. That can be biking or hiking or anything along those lines where you're out there doing that kind of stuff. So
exactly.
Well, good stuff. Well, Jamie, that's coming up fast.
It is.
Just a week. Week and a half away from that. And I know some folks who listen to the podcast also are running May 1st in other locations. That seems to be a popular day for marathons that day. So
for sure.
For all those folks running halves and fulls, we wish you the best of luck. We'll do one more podcast right before next week. But good luck in what you do. I'm going to go to a reader letter that we got in on the email. And it said, Jim, I've been listening to the Home Server Show. That's the other podcast that I do. The tech podcast, the home tech one, that's another one that I do with a bunch of tech guys, and the fitness tech podcast for a couple months now. I really like them, and you're doing a great job with all of them. So Dennis, thank you for that.
Thank you.
We always appreciate the good comments. Now comes for the suggestion. He
the
says,
critique.
from the fitness tech podcast I've listened to, I haven't really heard much tech discussed. Right. Well, and we kind of know that.
Yeah.
I added that part. We kind of know. We've gotten away from some of the tech parts, and we'll talk about that here in a sec. He says, I'm a techie guy, and the fact that I'm listening to a fitness tech podcast is a good first step. So congratulations on going the fitness route. And I'm hearing that from a few of the crossovers who have come from the technology stuff that I've done, who are now listening to the fitness tech stuff and are thinking, maybe I need to worry about my fitness a little bit more.
Yes.
So that's exciting as well. You know, on the Average Guy Network, that's what we're trying to do here, is create podcasts for the average guy, right? Fitness for the average guy. So if you feel like you're just an average guy, we're here for you, right?
That's
and,
right.
And so we appreciate those feedbacks. He says, maybe I missed a show, or maybe I could, or maybe you could do a recap of what kind of tech you use to train and run with. Just a thought. Totally agree with him. We have gotten very event centric over the last, over the winter. Some of the earlier podcasts that you and I did had a lot of technology in them.
Oh,
and
definitely.
A lot of things started happening, and we just kind of leaned that way, not right. intentionally. So if you're looking for tech, one of the things we're going to do, we're going to fix that, and we'll talk about that in future shows. But we've got kind of a remedy on how to do both a technology podcast and more of an event-driven interviews and those kinds of things podcast
exactly.
as well. So we got some things coming up. Stay tuned for the podcast. So Dennis, appreciate your feedback to us. He's got some information in there about a home server, which we won't talk about on this show, but we did talk about on the home server show. So Dennis, thanks for listening. Always good to get your feedback.
Thank you. We love feedback.
Yeah,
that's how we can improve.
We do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk some technology a little bit more. I've got some questions for you. So there's been with all the talk of racing season coming up, and us talking a lot about that, there's been a lot of talk about tech and shoes.
Yes.
And a lot of questions on our Facebook page. We have for the Lincoln Marathon. And by the way, if you're in a city and there's a marathon, look for a page on Facebook, because we have over 230 kind of viewers or followers or whatever on the Lincoln Marathon page. And there's some really great dialogue going on out there. So if you haven't seen that yet, you might want to. But one of the questions, Jamie, is in shoes. I know there's a 500-mile rule with shoes.
There
but,
is.
But give me your thoughts on that.
So I found like different brands last longer than some other brands. And you want to find a shoe, like when you're wearing an athletic shoe, you want it to be half a size to a full size bigger than your normal shoe size, because when you're working out, your foot does expand.
Really important.
Oh, really important.
Toenails get lost.
I've lost a lot of toenails. And they were already half a size bigger, so I had to go to a full size bigger.
Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. really important to know your foot from that standpoint.
Exactly. And if you if your foot is, you know, fitting right, you might want to think about, like, when you work out, getting a wider type of shoe. I mean, depending on your shoe size, too, because you can get bunions from having too narrow of a shoe, and it makes your foot really tight, and it swells up a little bit. So
yeah, what about orthotics? I mean, is that appropriate for a running shoe? You think of those in dress shoes, but can you put those in running shoes
too?
Oh,
you can, because you just take out your pad that's in the shoe and you insert your orthotic or your arch supports. And I used to have orthotics, but then, I don't know, my body changed and it actually hindered me, and I got injured last year really bad from the orthotics that was just throwing off my body. So now, because I have flat feet, I have arch supports, and they are making a big difference.
Okay. Again, you need to consult.
You need to consult with your doctor right. or your podiatrist.
Right.
Yes, but definitely take that lining out and then put them in there. And it fits perfectly. You can't even tell they're in your shoe.
In the last podcast, we interviewed Jason Phipps, and we talked about his journey from smoking two packs a day back in December to running a marathon May 1st. It's a moving, very moving podcast. And if you haven't listened to it, if this is the first time you've heard us or you missed that podcast, you need to go back and listen to it. Very, very, very compelling.
And what number was that podcast?
That's 30.
Jim?
Podcast number 30.
Okay.
Go back and take a look at it. But, you know, one of the things, that's a pretty extreme example, Jamie,
really
of
is.
Someone. And technology that's built into shoes can be very, very important there.
Exactly.
You have to kind of take into consideration your weight, right, when you go at this, your running style, what your feet are doing when they're, and you know, he's going from 0 to 100 very, very fast doesn't have a lot of time to adjust to learn those things. I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, my recommendation, most people shouldn't necessarily go that fast.
No, right? I definitely recommend not to go that fast, because you're going to burn yourself out and say this feels awful. This is dumb. I'm not doing this.
So if,
I mean, you just make slow, gradual changes and you'll eventually get there. Slow and steady always wins the race.
Yeah, it really does. If I was going to, so I see all these folks running this spring and I think, oh, I really want to run. Realistically, couch to 5K, how long would it take me to get in shape? Okay, now I know that's, everybody's different, right?
Everybody's
weight
different.
And size
yes.
and physical condition. But on average.
But you can do a couch to 5K in 12 to 16 weeks.
Okay. So by summer, by mid-summer.
Exactly.
Realistically, I could be running a 5K.
Yes.
Once I'm up to a 5K, is it 12 to 16 weeks for each additional 5K of distance?
Yes.
So by fall, I could be realistically, safely running a 10K.
Oh, easily.
And then I could consider winter or next spring, might be working up to a half.
Correct.
Yeah, and there's some things, some intervals in there you could do to keep yourself engaged in the running.
Oh,
right?
Definitely. And now some people go faster than that, but then you're going to deal with injuries and whole other bunch of issues. But if you do it gradually, like in 12-week increments, you'll notice a big difference, and you'll feel so much better about it, and you'll feel a good sense of accomplishment because your body feels good. You're not getting injured, and you're not having the muscle soreness. So that's a good way of easing into it.
Muscle soreness. And that gets a lot of people.
It really
does. I'm sore almost every day. I'll be honest with you. There's not a day during my training cycles. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't hobble like I'm, you know.
You may need some more protein, Jim.
Yeah, I know. I push the workouts. I vary them. I push them pretty hard. You know, trying to get ready for this for this upcoming event.
And you want varying workouts as well. You want like some easier days, some harder days, mix them up. You don't want to go all hard or all easy. You want to have interval changing workouts like that. And then your long runs on the weekends. So you could do 3 runs during the week with 2 days of cross training and then your long run on the weekend. And then lift weights 2 days a week.
Yeah, I think
on your cross training days.
I think so. Post marathon for me, I think I'm going to reduce my overall running distance, but I'm going to add bike into it.
That's great.
And maybe a swim, so you kind of know where I'm going with that.
Oh yes.
Shorten those up a little bit, and try and add some additional variety to
it. That's wonderful.
But I'm going to keep a long run. I think I'm every other weekend.
Good.
We shop every other weekend for groceries and stuff. That's kind of a pattern that we have at our house. And Sarah, my wife, holds to that very, very strictly. So, but I think the weekends we're not shopping would be great. Saturday morning, a long run, never more than a half probably. I have a nice 14-mile loop around the house, which is a little more than a half. So that might be something I do from time to time, just to kind of keep those wheels moving and that distance going. And I'm finding right now, and I know this sounds sick, but I'm finding at this point I'm really enjoying that half distance.
Right.
It's kind of crazy. I get to 6 and I'm like, okay, that wasn't enough.
Exactly.
You know? So I'm getting that feeling. Excited about adding the bike to it now, kind of mixing it up a little bit, changing it up. So pretty excited about that, yeah.
And that's exciting where that can lead to.
Yeah. No commitments yet, but no commitments yet. I got a long way to go. My swimming is atrocious, so
mine is too.
I've got a long way to go to be able to get to what we're talking about, and that's triathlon, of course.
Right, exactly.
But we'll start with a sprint. I'm going to start small, so I'm going to take my own medicine here. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm going to drink my own champagne, so to speak. So I'm not going to go right for a 10 or for a half iron or an iron.
Exactly.
Right? I'm going to start slow.
Yes.
Start with a sprint, and maybe you're in that. Maybe you're listening. You're in that same boat as I am. You've been doing marathons, and you're interested in looking at this idea of a try. I'd love to hear from you. So podcast@theaverageguy.tv. Maybe that's something we can talk about over the summer.
Exactly.
And some of the technology that goes
into
that.
And summertime is like the big time for it to occur. May, June, July.
Yeah. Well, because you get in the water.
Exactly.
And you get on a bike.
Right.
And the running is sometimes less than a 10K.
The weather's favorable.
Yeah. Jamie, let's talk a little bit about stress fractures in events.
Oh, boy.
Right?
Yeah.
We know Carrie, our good friend and co-host.
Did she have a stress
show.
Fracture?
No, she had one,
good.
Though.
Oh,
and she healed it.
I had one, too, at one time in... point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So folks feel a pain. It feels bad, but it's not broken. Certainly
right,
you can walk
right.
on it, right?
Yes.
What's kind of from a trainer's standpoint, what's the recommendation on that? How do you recommend?
Well, I'll first start with, like
consult a doctor, right?
Exactly,
that's the first thing
exactly.
you do is you go see your doctor.
Yeah, see the doctor. But what's happening in your body is, you may not be taking in enough calcium, or for some reason your bones aren't getting enough calcium, and then you're having all this pounding on top of it, and it causes little micro fracture hairline tears in your bones, little severs, and it turns into a fracture after, you know, overtraining and overuse and just using it for a long time becomes, it turns into a fracture. So then after that, you have to go to physical therapy or, you know, get a walking boot, somehow stabilize it, and then your muscles start atrophying. And but anyway, you have to, like, you really have to rest yourself and take in a lot of calcium to build that back up and to heal yourself up.
So, Jamie, how do I know I might have a stress fracture?
If you're having a lot of shin splints or a lot of pain when you're running and nothing is helping it get better and it just seems to be progressing and getting a little worse, definitely go see your doctor, get an x-ray done.
And they can, an x-ray, they can tell from an x-ray. I mean, yes. Basically a stress fracture is a broken bone that's not completely broken
exactly.
All the way through.
Exactly. It has a little hairline fracture
yeah.
in it.
And those can be very dangerous. And
yes.
So folks, especially in an area really common for new runners.
Exactly.
Who exert themselves too much too fast.
Too much. And what caused mine was I was still wearing old shoes that was way past the 500. It was probably on 5,000 miles. Who knows?
Oh, boy.
Oh, it was bad. And no one even told me about it. I didn't even know. You know, and the coaches didn't say anything. They never looked at that stuff.
Yeah.
And in my diet, I wasn't eating any calcium, no dairy products, and my diet was not very good at all, being a college student.
Okay.
So, and then you're running constantly, and you're running on uneven ground. So it also depends on the surfaces that you're running on, too.
Okay. Yeah. So if you're feeling, if it's hurting a lot.
It's hurting a lot. Right?
Was it throbbing?
Oh, yeah. It was throbbing. It was painful just to touch it. Okay. You can feel it on the bone. It hurt. That's a good indication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't mess around with that.
No, I got to the point where it was so bad, I couldn't even, like, move my toe. It just was sharpshooting pain. It was awful. I couldn't even walk.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
That was during a run. They had to carry me off the course.
Oh,
it was bad.
That's never good.
No.
That's never good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're new to fitness or you're trying this fitness thing for the first time, or even if you just got into it back on January 1 when folks made the New Year's resolution, really, really watch for that, especially if you're doing a lot of running.
Exactly.
Watch for that stress fracture. That can be really, really painful.
And today someone said that, you know, they're training for their first half marathon, which is May 15th, the Papillion,
mm-hmm.
and her bones are hurting. Mm-hmm. I go, well, how is your calcium intake? She's like, oh, I only have about one string cheese a day and that's it. I'm like, you need a lot more calcium. Your bones, your body's letting you know that your bones need calcium.
You need to strengthen up those bones.
Exactly.
That's the infrastructure that carries you for 13
And even
miles.
Though I was lifting weights, that wasn't enough. I needed that calcium.
Yeah, and lifting weights really does promote
It really does
bone
help build
strength,
bone
right?
density.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's crazy the way that works.
It's very important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of looking forward to getting back some of that weightlifting. I've tried to lean down.
So I've purposely
not developed my upper body at all. Where in Omaha last fall, we had done the push-up sit-up contest.
Right.
And I had kind of bulked up in the upper body. It looked good in pictures. But
the triangle formation.
I did. It looked really good in pictures. I'm like, wow, that looks good. I had this tight compression shirt on, which really helps. Speaking of a piece of technology that really works well, compression gear that's new
yes.
compression gear these days is amazing. And so if you're running or doing any activities and you do it in a cotton t-shirt, you are absolutely robbing yourself.
Don't wear
comfort.
Cotton.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It'll make your workout miserable, your race miserable.
Yeah, and guys,
it's
you'll bleed
good.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
If you're running.
Put on Band-Aids.
If you're wearing cotton. So one of the greatest technologies I think that's been developed in the last 5 years,
for sure.
DryFit has just gotten so good.
It's
and I don't know
amazing.
What the I don't know what the name of that technology is behind that. I think DryFit is a brand.
Yeah, or Duo Dry or
yeah, whatever. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, polyester and rayon.
It's a combo and mm-hmm. it just wicks that water away from your body.
That's amazing. Dries up quickly, so you're not leaving cold and you don't feel like you're wearing this heavy workout gear.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fabulous. I wore it for the marathon last year. First time I'd done compression as a shirt.
Oh, really?
Last fall at Omaha, and it was fabulous.
I'll be honest, I still
use Band-Aids because it's just tough for us guys. You got to get, they've made so many advancements in shirt and shorts.
Right.
Gear. I also wear compression shorts.
Yes.
That I wear running shorts over the top of that. And that has made from a chafing standpoint, that has made the world a difference. So if you're running long
sure.
distance and you're chafing, you got to get yourself a pair of compression mm-hmm. shorts. They're cheap, $15, I think, is what I paid for mine. I even think I bought a Target or a Kohl's brand, and it's been fabulous. So don't skimp on, we talk about shoes are expensive. Clothes don't have to be expensive.
Yeah, you could get great brands at Target and Kohl's. And
yeah, I think I got my Nike shirt at Dick's Sportswear for $20.
Exactly.
So you can, that's worth every penny.
It is. And there's usually sales and coupons out there too. You just have to hit them.
No, right on. Mm-hmm. Right on. Yeah. So if you're, you know, this now's the time, all that gear will be out because summer's coming.
Exactly.
Go out and take a peek. And then if it works for you next fall, look for those same items as they're clearancing them. I'm all out. If you think you're going to be running for a while now, you might want to start looking at the running gear for the winter running gear. So jackets, long sleeve, gloves. I picked up a pair of really nice fleece running gloves,
$5.
Nice. $5. $5.
That's awesome.
On clearance. So those are the kind of things. I love gloves. And so it's one of those things I'm always looking for every time I'm in the sports store. I'm looking for a good pair of running gloves. And,
that's perfect. Yeah. I'm thinking for a race shirt in the future. I want to get one of those that it has pockets in the back so you can stick your, you know, gels and goos and Kleenexes and whatever you want to bring into those pockets.
Now, traditionally, those are biking shirts.
Really?
Right? The bikers wear those, and they have pockets in the back so they can stuff them.
Yeah.
It would be great. Maybe there's an avenue for some running design to have the same thing. I'd like to have them.
Exactly.
I'd actually wouldn't mind having some goo pockets up here on my
sleeve. Oh, yeah, on the sleeve.
You could stick one or two goos in there.
See, that's smart. Because they already have pockets in the shorts, but they're so tiny, it's just for keys.
Right. Yeah. No, you can't do
that. And they also have the key pockets insert in the gloves.
In the gloves.
Dry fit gloves.
So yeah, if you're listening out there and you make running clothes, there you go. There's but you're right. That would be great to be able to put those goos.
Exactly.
I'm actually contemplating running with a Columbia fanny pack. And those have gotten a bad rap in the, but it's got water bottle holders in it. And I've done the last two long runs with it.
Nice.
Very,
I bet that
very
worked
comfortable.
Great.
Yep. I keep my phone in it. I can keep keys in it. I keep my wallet in it while I'm running. But with almost
where'd you get that at?
I think I bought that at a Shields, or it was at a big box store. They were clearancing it.
Okay.
And I thought, one of our local ones here in Omaha.
Oh,
I forget.
Okay.
It's been here a long time. Anyways, doesn't
Ballers
matter.
Or?
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah.
I just can't think of it. It'll come here in a sec. The query will come back in a second. But yeah, I found that and I actually used that when I ran up Mount Evans.
Really?
And I could keep, I can keep two 20-ounce bottles in it.
Exactly.
And those are Gatorade bottles, work really well for the skinny ones that have the sippy top.
Oh, perfect.
So to speak. And then I carry a couple protein bars. I could carry cheese. I could carry a case of goos.
Wow.
And it's really wide on my back.
Okay.
So it doesn't create a pinch point or a rub
good.
Point that would,
and doesn't bounce around.
It doesn't.
Hmm.
No, I've had really good luck with it. So that's, excuse me. That's been something I've had really good luck with. I'm even contemplating running with it in Lincoln. So.
I'll have to try that for my long run this weekend.
Yeah.
Then maybe I can wear that.
Yeah, it's wide. I mean, I'm talking it's probably 9 to 10 or 12 inches wide
on
your back.
Okay.
Real nice padding on there.
Okay.
And then a wide belt that comes in and clips in. I just cinched that up. And then it also has cinches for the water bottles, so you can cinch those water bottles in tight to you so they don't jiggle around.
Okay.
So I've found that to be, rather than carrying stuff,
Right.
The spy belt I use has a really thin waist, and it's good for carrying just a few things, and it's really light, but I also find it pinches.
It does.
It rubs.
Okay. Because I was also thinking about a spy belt for my gels.
Yeah, no,
goos.
I like it. I like it. It's a light, if I was doing less than a half, I always put my phone in it when we train.
Right, exactly.
So it works.
Okay.
For the longer distances, I've just enjoyed having this pack with me.
Hmm.
When I pulled it out on that Saturday, Phipps called it a backpack. He's like, are you carrying a backpack with us today? And I said no. And in the end, he knew why I brought it. So
that's
carry
perfect.
Everything I need. So it's good.
Hmm.
Hey, real quick, let's talk about as we wrap things up because we're getting close to the end of our time here. Let's talk about some iPhone or Android apps,
right?
That might help us from a point of nutrition. Because tracking your nutrition
is
really
great.
Important.
Yes, that way you know exactly what you're taking in for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and your snacks. You get your total calorie intake, and you can also input your exercise for the day too. So it keeps you accountable that way, and you can share it with family and friends, and they will hold you accountable to what your goals are. And some good applications are Spark People. My Fitness Pal is on the iPhone and Android. And
is Fit Day?
Fit Day is on the website.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And there's dailyplate.com, fitday.com.
But I think Live Strong has an application.
Yeah,
for,
and that's through Daily Plate.
That's through Daily Plate.
Yes,
they've
correct.
Kinda, they've kind of come
but
together.
But my fitnesspal.com, that's a free app. And then there's apps that you can pay for too that are great tracking tools, especially when you have your phone with you all the time. You're eating meal, you could just scan in the barcode or you could just type in what you're eating. It'll pull up all the nutrition facts for you. And there you go. So it's a lot easier than manually typing it on the internet.
Yeah, and I need to do more of that. My buddy, I had lunch with a buddy yesterday, and he's doing that now. He's dropped
nice.
5 or 6 pounds
it
since he started tracking
it.
Mm-hmm. I know the last time I started tracking my calorie intake, the weight just began to just shed off.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't even realize until you start tracking. You're like, oh, my gosh, I was just mindlessly eating right there, and I didn't need those 500 calories. So,
yeah, and
you know,
Jamie, if you're tracking that stuff, what are a few tips for folks? I mean, what are a few pitfalls that may get in the way of you actually doing the tracking? You know, do you know?
Like, some people just don't like to manually track it all the time. But if you have your phone, that makes it the easiest possible way to track, because it's right there when you're eating. Just type it in as you're eating instead of writing down, oh, I forgot what I ate because I didn't write it down. Then I have to try to remember. And, oh, I'm not going to enter that in because it was only like one M&M. But
yeah,
when you have your phone there with you, you can just easily input it. And a lot of people don't like the hassle, you know, of manually tracking and trying to type everything in later. But with your phone, it's like foolproof, really.
Yeah, and most people have their phones with them
all
the time. You know, look in the App Store, right? Go through,
yes.
Evaluate a few.
Exactly. It's totally worth it.
Go online to their websites. All of them have websites. And you know, like Live Strong, you can go there and get some reviews. You can get some reviews right from the App Store.
Right.
And on your phone, whether that's iPhone or Android. Based. I kind of miss not having my Palm Pre because I can't talk about the HP OS anymore,
right.
Or the Web OS. And then Windows Phone, of course, is out as well. And that apps community is building. More and more apps are getting built there. So if you see it in Android or iOS, chances are it's coming to the Windows Phone 7 platform. And I know there's some of these I use Live Strong or one of those apps on the Web OS as well. So
good.
Available across most of the platforms that
exactly.
are out there. BlackBerry's got some apps
right.
for that as well.
But even if you have to pay for it, it's totally worth it, because if you go to a trainer or go to a nutrition center, you'll have to pay for it anyway, and this will hold you accountable. And you can include your friends and have like a friend and family support group right there with you, and you can share your data between everyone.
Yeah, and most of them are less than $5.
Yeah,
and
totally.
So Live Strong is $2.99.
Exactly.
It has 625,000 different foods already in their database.
Well, on dailyplate.com, that's free. You know, online, and fitday.com is free as well. And there's also calorieking.com. And, I mean, there's a lot of free.
Yeah, even if you don't
websites.
Have a phone.
Exactly.
Right, you can
you
go
can
on the web.
You still do this.
Most of those sites are open for work, for people at work as
right.
well. Those don't get blocked oftentimes. And you can, right after lunch, you know, when I was doing it and before I would do it on my phone, actually, I never tracked it on my phone. I always did it on the website. I would take a little yellow sticky pad with me when I would go, and I would write, as I was eating lunch,
good.
I would write down what I have, or a notepad or whatever, napkin.
Exactly.
Just jot it down so I could put it in my pocket. And then when I got back to my PC, I could put it in. And I must
Which
have did
perfect.
It for 5 weeks, I think, and lost. I bet I lost 12 pounds during
I
those.
I believe it.
During those 5 weeks, you guys were pretty helpful in kind of tracking it with me.
Right.
So it's another way to go about it, right? Nutrition, nutrition, nutrition.
For sure. And the main thing is to share your goals and share what you're doing with people, because that'll help hold you accountable and help you to stay on top of your goal to achieve success. And it's also a good way to, you know, push others to do the same. And it's a good way that way you don't fall back and say, oh, I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to do this. So definitely share your goals and get other people in on it with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Accountability is key, right?
It is key.
Forming groups. We found from the experiment called the Mud Mafia.
Right.
That, that folks really respond to groups.
Yes.
Very well. And that the Mud Mafia continues to grow and be and very popular in what we're doing. It is an accountability group. It's a family. It's something you could be a part of.
It is. And the people you hang around with, those are the type of people you tend to, you
emulate.
Know, become yourself. Exactly. So if you are surrounding yourself with healthy people, you're more likely to make healthy habits, make healthy food choices, and stick to a great plan instead of hanging out with those friends who want to go eat cheeseburger and fries and then top it off with a few beers and
yeah.
the weight will come on really fast.
Liquid calories can fill
liquid
up
pretty calories,
fast.
Cholesterol, blood pressure issues, even diabetes. Yeah. So,
well, I'm trying to start a new trend, Jamie, single-handedly trying to change geeks into geek athletes.
Good.
And, you know, I'm a computer nerd from way back in the 80s. And I've always been involved in technology, but recently have gotten into you know, running and athletics
yes.
and fitness. I guess it's probably the best way to say it, into fitness. And trying to drag some of my
good.
Technology brethren over with me. So if you're one of those technology brethren who's, you know, you find yourself sitting at a desk all day and you're a little, maybe a little overweight or you
right.
haven't worked
it's
out,
hard.
You haven't seen the inside of a gym or a tennis shoe in 5 years. Hey, no better time like the present, and you don't have to be a total athlete to do
no,
these things.
No,
I, you know, I go out. I've gotten faster every year, but I'm almost always in the 50th percentile. When I run Lincoln, I'll be probably in the 65th or 70th percentile
which is
of
just
all
fine.
The runners. It's fine
mm-hmm.
with me. Hey, I finished.
Yeah.
And it's more than other folks do, and so it's a good
opportunity.
But
you're being active and healthy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
setting
yeah.
a good example for your family.
No, it's very good. So
it is.
Well, good. Well, Jamie, we've come to the end of another podcast for us. So it's good to be back kind of just talking
right,
topics
right.
and technology. The future will be more of this with you and me.
Yes,
and,
correct.
And we've got some other things coming that Jamie doesn't even know about yet. We're going to talk about it right here after we're done with the podcast. But stay tuned. We've got some really exciting things coming from a fitness tech standpoint.
For
and,
sure.
And we've had some really good success over the last couple of months. The numbers, just Monday alone, one of our indicators, one of the statistics that I track on the site, went from an average of 40 to 200.
Wow.
Yeah. So every once in a while, we see these little spikes in there, which tells us you're listening. And we appreciate you listening. Of course, the best way to listen is to get this podcast automatically.
Yes.
In some way.
For
and
sure.
we're working on getting your computer fixed so you can do that.
Woo-hoo.
But if you're, you know, if you've got a laptop or you sync with your iPod, of course, doing it through iTunes is the easiest way to get the podcast in.
Right.
We have all those links out at theaverageguy.tv. You can just click on the sync with iTunes and it will set all that up for you automatically and get it to your iPod. You can listen to it while you work out or drive in your car.
Exactly.
Walk.
Yes.
Walk around with folks. So you can do it that way. If you don't have an iPod or you've got some other brand of an MP3 player like a Zune, we do have an RSS feed out on the site that you can grab and put that into the Zune player or whatever, a double twist, whatever
exactly.
your player of choice is, and that'll sync. I know some folks use the double twist application to sync with their Android phones because Android doesn't have an iTunes player. So all this technology, this is great.
It is.
So Double Twist, again, will take if you just search for fitness tech, oftentimes you can find it, or you can go out to our site, grab the RSS feed, and put that in Double Twist, and it will automatically download the podcast for you. That's the best way to get these podcasts, so you don't wait for them. They just
exactly.
automatically come in as soon as we release
which
them.
Which is great.
And we've been doing a couple a week, so I think that's going to stay... That's going to stay pretty consistent. Probably two,
mm-hmm.
yeah, probably three every 2 weeks is probably what we're going to stay on for a while. And so a lot of good information.
Great
Your
information.
Feedback is important to us, podcast
yes.
at theaverageguy.tv. Jamie, next week I want to talk a little bit about heart rate monitors. And,
good.
And actually I want you to talk and be ready to talk a little bit about training zones for
awesome.
Using your heart rate monitor
good.
To manage your training zones.
Perfect.
That's something I don't do at all. So
okay.
you'll be able to talk and I'll shut up for a while.
Excellent. And listeners, just remember that nutrition is 80% of it. So please start tracking your calories. It's going to make a big difference and you'll notice results pretty quickly realizing what you are eating because you are what you eat.
Yeah, I got a tweet this week from, I think it was actually just, maybe it was from Dennis too, but the one, the email that I'd read and he'd said, you know, can a big guy like me you know, run a 5K
in
12 weeks. And absolutely.
Absolutely.
But I told him, unless you, if you don't fix your nutrition, a lot of it will be in vain. You can just run yourself. And I've done this before.
Oh, yeah.
Run yourself into the ground or work out yourself into the ground and not
see any difference.
Yeah.
It's all about nutrition. And breakfast really is the most important meal of the day.
It is.
So make sure you eat breakfast.
And make sure it's not Captain Crunch.
Right. You want high fiber breakfast
with
some protein.
Something that'll stick.
Yes.
And I'm getting kind of more back into oatmeal. Throw some raisins in there. I call those power pellets.
Oh, yeah.
And
they are.
They're just, they're little dynamos
of
food.
They're wonderful.
And so it's all good. So, okay, we'll be back next week. We've done another one. This is 31. And we'll see you back here next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.